This is the Jon Favreau is My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
Ah. Stop it. I won't talk about the Oscars. Stop it. Stop it right now.
I wasn't going to say anything about the Oscars.
I saw it in your eyes.
What I was going to say was, and this is actually incredibly narcissistic, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've already started.
You've started this whole...
Is that I obviously know that my voice is the one who does the intro.
Yeah, duh.
Who does the intro for this podcast. But sometimes I hear it and I'm just like, wow, her voice sounds so smooth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's me.
Okay, everyone knows that I'm the one who sounds like the raspy ass rat on this podcast.
No, you know what is funny though, is that when we first started recording, one of my friends was listening and they were like, oh my God, Monica's voice sounds so good in the intro. And I was like, that's me,
what the fuck?
Bitch.
That's not me, bitch. That's Jessica.
That's me.
I don't sound like that.
To be fair, I don't sound like that in my normal speaking voice either, no, but I don't feel like you can tell that it comes from me, maybe?
I can tell, mostly because I hear it every day.
Yeah, because I like to do my fancy voice.
Yeah. For you. I don't know that I can do it.
Right now.
This is the John Fenn. Hold on.
One more time.
This is the...
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. This is the John. I literally can't do it. Like, I don't know. My voice just doesn't go there.
It does. I could hear the beginnings of it.
Anyway, we're not going to talk about the fucking Oscars, so stop asking.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the Oscars.
Okay.
How are you, Monica?
The Academy Awards. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Oh, you're fine?
I'm fine. It is what it is, guys. I don't know what to tell you, honestly. Abolish the Academy Awards.
Abolish the Academy Awards. I'm a slut for award season. So like,
I know. You
I mean,
are.
I know they're full of shit. They I know are. This, and yet I'm just like, but I love them.
Yeah, we just need a better system.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely.
We need a new Academy Award.
This is why of all the award ceremonies, I like the SAG Awards the most because they nominate each other.
Yeah.
There's no host.
It's everyone's homies.
You know, it's just like a bunch. It's the nerdiest of all of them. I mean, of the ones that are televised.
Yeah. I myself like the Teen Choice Awards, Nickelodeon.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Where people get slimed.
What's the one where they give out the surfboards? Is it MTV?
No, that's going to be the Kids Choice Awards.
Oh, the Kids Choice
Awards.
I'm pretty
sure that's because there's the Teens Choice Awards and then there's the Kids Choice Awards, right? Like,
MTV,
I'm not crazy.
Is that the astronaut or
yes,
is that
no MTV is the astronaut. Good
okay,
job.
What's
the moon
the
man
one, what's the one with the popcorn?
Oh shit, I don't know that one.
Wait, is the moon man the VMAs?
The moon man is the VMAs.
And MTV Movie Awards is the popcorn?
Is the popcorn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are the VMAs MTV?
The VMAs are MTV.
Okay.
The Video Music Awards. Yeah, which why wouldn't they call VMAs. It why wouldn't they have called it the Music Video Awards?
The MTVMAs.
Good job. It's just like
Video Music Awards.
Video Music Awards.
Woo!
Welcome everybody to the Video Music Awards. Brought to you by Ultra Clean Chair Spray. What gets a girl asked out to lunch? Is it brains? Is it boys? No, it's hairspray. If you take a ride.
That went. Like I said on the last episode, I just never know where this is going to go. And
I don't know
keeps
either.
Surprising
Which,
me.
By the way, Hairspray is one of my favorite.
I fucking love that musical.
It's so good. It's so
Maybe
good.
Someday we'll talk about it.
Maybe someday if you take a ride. You know, we're not
timeless
talking.
To no, me.
You're timeless to me. We're not talking about Hairspray today.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about Reese Witherspoon.
Ooh, America's sweetheart.
America's sweetheart, Reese
but
Witherspoon.
But also, a sweetheart who is not that sweet.
Not that sweet. Not after we watched
these movies.
I mean,
I'm sure she as a person is sweet, but like, we'll get into it, but yeah.
Doesn't she have a book called like Whiskey in a Teacup?
Yes, I believe she does. It's like a lifestyle
yeah,
book.
Yeah, I saw it at Target.
She also has a clothing line called Draper James.
Yes, she does. You know what, Jessica, let me read the fucking intro.
Oh, I didn't know it was in your, okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Proof that she does not read my intros.
I mean, do you read mine?
No.
Ahead of time? That's what I thought.
Yes, but I proudly don't read yours ahead of time. Reese Witherspoon, the iconic pink princess, Laura Jean Reese Witherspoon. Whoa, that name is Southern.
I had no idea that was her name.
Mm-hmm, that's her name. Laura Jean is her name. Is an American actress, producer, and entrepreneur. She's the recipient of various accolades. of which we just like shit all over.
No, Monica shit all
sorry,
over.
Sorry, I just shit all over. Including an Academy Award, 2 Golden Globe Awards, and a Primetime Emmy Award. And she's one of the highest paid actresses in the world as of 2019.
That's crazy.
Before the year went to shit.
Yeah.
Born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Am I saying that right? New Orleans? Isn't it?
I mean, if you're from here, you can say New Orleans.
New Orleans.
But if you're from there or the South, I think it's Nolens.
And raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Witherspoon began her career as a teenager, making her screen debut in The Man in the Moon. Following a leading role opposite Mark Wahlberg in Fear, her breakthrough came in 1999 with a truly delicious supporting role in Cruel Intentions.
Oh, I love the movie.
So good. And for her portrayal of Tracy Flick in Election, she gained wider recognition for her role as the legendary Elle Woods in Legally Blonde. In 2005, she garnered critical acclaim for her celebrated portrayal of June Carter Cash in the biographical musical film Walk the Line, which is so
It's one of my favorite movies good. Ever.
Which won her the Academy Award for Best Actress. In this case, I will be the hypocrite and say, well-deserved. Daddy Reese also owns a clothing company called Draper James and is actively involved in children's and women's advocacy organizations. I am a huge fan of her book club. Reese's book club. Very well-named. So transparent. It is what it is. And her media production company, Hello Sunshine, which is on a mission to change the narrative for women in media and film. She is a woman who does it all and does it well and does it in heels.
Wow.
Woohoo, Reese.
I love Reese.
I do love Reese myself.
Her daughter looks exactly like her. It's kind of frightening.
I would have mentioned her children, but they're so goddamn famous on their own. They're like their own people now.
That's very true, especially because like I forget all the time that like Reese Witherspoon was married to Ryan Phillippe. Which is weird because he's entirely irrelevant now.
Yeah.
And when I look at him, I'm just like, you look mean. And she is not mean.
No, she's like a ray of sunshine.
I mean, to be fair, if anyone knows Ryan Phillippe and he's not mean.
He's not mean.
You know, I have no idea, but it's strange. It's strange.
Yeah. What's her first movie, man?
Oh, you know what it is, Monica.
I don't know what it is. Okay, should I have watched? Tell you.
Should I have watched a movie?
What's happening?
Are we being recorded right
Am now? I on a podcast? When did you put me in a podcast?
The first movie is Election. Came out in 1999, directed by Alexander Payne. Screenplay by Alexander Payne and Jim Taylor, based on Tom Perata's 1998 novel Election. You guys remember him. He wrote Little Children. We did that on Kate Winslet's episode. Oh, also fun fact, this is Barack Obama's favorite political movie ever.
He has said on multiple occasions, not just one, that Election is his favorite political movie of all time.
Yes, 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 yes.
So if it's good enough for Obama, it's good enough for me.
Jim McAllister, played by Matthew Broderick, a well-liked high school government teacher, can't help but notice that successful student Tracy Flick, played by Reese Witherspoon, uses less than ethical tactics to get what she wants. When Tracy runs for school president, Jim feels that she will be a poor influence on the student body and convinces Paul, a dim-witted but popular student athlete played by Chris Klein. He's so good.
I know, he's so good.
This was his first movie ever.
I know.
To run against Tracy. When she becomes aware of Jim's secret involvement in the race, a bitter feud is sparked. This movie is fucking hilarious.
Okay. Whenever someone asks me like, you know, black comedies are sometimes like hard to sort of like define. When someone asks me like for an example of a black comedy, I always turn them to Election.
It's a perfect example.
It is a perfect example of like a true black comedy. It's so good.
Especially like, because I saw Election after I saw like Legally Blonde and truly everything fucking else that Reese Witherspoon has done. And she's so just like I said at the beginning, she's America's sweetheart, but she has like this, she's like a fire inside of her.
She has like this, she's ill proportioned. She's like ill proportioned in her personality.
Yeah.
Because she's like she's all sugar and spice in the front and like everything nice, right? And then like there's this weird darkness in her that when like you have to catch this very specific glimpse of her face or her eyes or her mannerisms that tell you that she's fucking dark.
Like, yeah, But it's like, it's what she does best. Mm-hmm. And Election is the perfect example of it. But this is like the last Reese Witherspoon movie I had seen, like been exposed to for the first time, I guess, except for Wild. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and considering it was one of her first big roles, I was just like so shocked in comparison to who she is in Legally Blonde. Yeah. They're just like vastly different people.
Yeah, I've actually seen this movie quite a few times, and this last time that I watched it, I sort of noticed like this sensibility in Reese Witherspoon to like hide her emotions while mm-hmm. completely showing every card that she has.
Yeah,
which is like kind of like she does it in every single film. She does it in Legally Blonde. She does it in Wild. She does it in every other movie that she's ever been in. She's like a quiet storm.
Yeah, doesn't hide much.
Yeah, she's a quiet storm with a neon sign on her forehead.
Yeah, but there's value in that to like some of these roles. I think it's because when you first look at her, you would normally see someone like her and be like, oh my God, she's so cute and she's so sweet and so unassuming, and because she's really short and she's blonde.
She's from the South.
Big fucking eyes and
you big know? Eyes and tight tendrils.
But then she has all of this emotion and all of this like, I don't know, crazy nuance inside of her that she puts on her very sweet face. And then you're like, you're very like cute, but I'm also very afraid of you.
Yeah, there's a lot of conviction there behind her cheeks, behind her rosy red cheeks and her very pale complexion.
Yeah, she's really easy to be afraid of, which is just like Tracy Flick, because Tracy's like super cute and, you know, she's fucking a teacher. And so obviously she's not undesirable,
exactly.
But she's also terrifying to adults as well.
Yeah. And what I love about Reese is that she's very short and she's very petite and she's blonde and she's very unassuming, but she has this like power over people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to be fucking terrified of her if you get on her wrong side.
Yeah.
And even when she's talking to you, her voice has this very specific quality to it where it's very sing-song like mm-hmm. until it's not until it's like very dead set on fucking ruining you. And what I love about what Reese does with specifically this role and a lot of other roles that she's been in is she's incredibly iconic.
Yeah.
Like she'll adopt this role and make it into like a cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
Like what she did with fucking Elle Woods in Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Tracy Flick is equally as iconic, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This movie, to a whole different generation.
It just wasn't as like, I guess it's not as widely known because it's not, it is rather inappropriate at times.
Yeah. It's definitely not Legally Blonde. Like Legally Blonde is much more like PG.
Yeah. Like a kid could get away with watching that. Yeah. And like, there is some like not great stuff in it, but mm-hmm. like, you know, you can get away with watching it with your kid, but Election there,
your kid cannot watch that movie
because you're literally going to watch Reese Witherspoon say like, come in me, which is really upsetting.
And fuck me. And it's just one of those things. And like, there's like a scene where like Matthew Broderick is like watching porn and he's like contemplating like who to pit against this child. And he goes, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a movie for kids. Yet what I love about this movie is that it centers kids mm-hmm. and it centers their lives, even though it's narrated by an adult.
Yes.
It's really very relatable. Like the school is not really pristine. It's actually really disgusting. And like all the kids like look terrible except for Reese Witherspoon who's supposed to be a shining star. Like she's supposed to look incredible, but everyone else looks like teenagers, which wasn't something that was happening at this time. Like a lot of the kids playing teenagers, the quote unquote kids playing mm-hmm. teenagers were like 25.
Yeah.
Like it was really cool to see a lot of the kids look absolutely gross and like pimply and like braced.
Yes.
Braced as in like braces, but in Paul's case, like an actual brace on his knee. And sort of like be in that like weird jungle. And like, honestly, my favorite character in this movie is not even Tracy Flick.
Who is it?
It's the janitor. The redemption man.
I just love how every character in this movie is like not what you expected it to be, because that's that's exactly like Tracy's essence. And it's also, like I said, it's everyone's essence. Like Matthew Broderick is supposed to be a teacher who's like really good to his students, but then he also like fucking hates Tracy and wants to sabotage her.
Exactly.
And then you would expect Chris Klein's character to be an asshole because he's like a jock, but he's actually the nicest person.
Didn't even vote for himself.
No.
Like, is such a good brother. Brings his sister her homework when she's like, like fucking suspended, tells her it's no hard feelings if she wins. Like, he's so nice.
Yes.
And you're right. This film does a lot of like taking the stereotypical teen and like twisting it on its head.
Yeah.
Especially like there's this whole, I would call it like a C plot of like, this bitch, what's her name? Tammy. And like her like girlfriend, it was like not her girlfriend. And the only reason that she's even with Paul is to like spite Tammy. Mm-hmm. It is so fucking funny.
It's really, really, really funny. And when you like, when you zoom out on this movie and you like buy into the whole like, this is supposed to be an allegory for our government, mm-hmm. and our political system and corruption, you're like, you know what? It's fucking true. Because yeah. like American politics, I mean, all politics, but especially American politics, I feel like a bunch of fucking teenagers trying to sabotage each other most of the time.
Yeah, they're all children, really. At the end of the day, it's like the whole, a big point that the movie tries to make is that the adults are no better than the kids.
Yeah.
Like there is no moral high ground here. Like no one, everyone thinks that they're better than everyone else because mm-hmm. everyone is a narcissistic child.
Yeah.
Because children put themselves first. They only think about themselves, really. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, like Matthew Broderick's character will constantly say that he's like for the kids, or like the reason why he's teaching is for the kids. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like he does things that are incredibly like narcissistic and selfish.
Yes.
And things to sabotage the kids' is like well-being and self-esteem. So it's like, to, you know, to your point, it's very much about how everyone is just a fucking child, like just presenting a version of themselves that everyone else wants to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I really loved about Reese's performance in this, because like this is such a character role, which is why there's yeah. not like a ton of analysis points on it, but like what I like about that, because it's easy to be like, oh my God, she added so much nuance and she added so much depth.
But she didn't.
But like, she didn't. But that's okay. It's not a problem because she did exactly what the character needed.
Exactly.
Like, this movie, there are opportunities of depth elsewhere, but like mm-hmm. this movie needed Tracy Flick to be this one note, kind of like sweet on the outside, but an absolute fucking monster on the inside. And she delivered like tenfold.
Yeah. Her role in this film, Reese's role in this film was to become the essence mm-hmm. of Tracy Flick, which is an ambitious, badass woman mm-hmm. who takes no shit and is completely cutthroat.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at the expense of others, but yeah. that's kind of that. And sort of like, you know, dusting your hands off and moving on from that was her whole MO. Like she had to be this one version of this character, and that was that. And you know, she obviously, like, she was sexually free obviously, but it was less so about freedom and just more so about like being this one person and having this conviction to beat everyone. It was about beating everyone. It was about yeah. being cutthroat. It was about throwing fucking blackmail in people's faces and like saying that she was better than them. And in the moments where you see her become free, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, in the moments when she's alone with, what was his name? The very first teacher.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Teacher number one.
Teacher number one.
Teacher number one. When she was with him, she was very free and like freely able to speak and like talk and like let herself be like a girl. Mm-hmm. And like when, another moment that I love was when she was in the hallway and she's like, like she just lets herself fucking go.
When she rips down those posters, and she just so good.
Rips down those fucking posters and you see her be a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Because for the whole movie, you think this bitch is what, like a 16-year-old, 30-year-old
yeah.
the whole time. But then you sort of see her like break down her walls and like act her own age and sort of mm-hmm. like act with all of this wrath and this rage. And you sort of like step back a little bit and go, well, of course her ambitions are so one note.
Yeah.
Because she's a teenager.
Yeah.
She doesn't want anything else. She wants to win.
Exactly.
She wants to win in the same way that the high school quarterback wants to win. Mm-hmm. She wants to win in the same way that the academic decathlon captain wants to win. She wants to win. When you're a teenager, you can only see so far ahead of yourself in life.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, of course I'm not gonna sense a lot of nuance in her performance. Because that was the whole fucking point. She's a teenager. She doesn't know anything. She only knows that she wants to win.
Yes, she knows that she wants to win, but like a classic teenager, thinks that her problems are very complicated mm-hmm. when they're not, which like in a weird backwards way almost simplifies them even more.
Exactly.
And like she gives the role only as much as it needs, mm-hmm. which I think there's an incredible amount of value in it, because sometimes you might get an actor who's like, I want to bring depth to this role.
What's her backstory?
Like, what does Tracy really want? And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I just want to see her screaming.
Yeah. It's like, you know what she wants? She wants to win. Let her win. Let her do that.
That's literally all she wants.
Let her blackmail people in order to win.
Yep.
Let her let others take the fall, even though it was her fault, to win.
Yeah.
Like, let her fucking, like, talk shit to her teachers to win. Like, let her do this. Just let her be. Let the janitor count the two votes and let her win. Okay? Okay, let it happen.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I feel like we're being like, congratulations, Reese Witherspoon. You did the bare minimum perfectly.
Yes.
But that is kind of what it is.
Well, that is kind of what it is. And you know what's, I think to like visual artists,
yeah.
right? Where they're painting mm-hmm. and they're painting and they're painting and they're painting and they get to a point where it's too much and yeah. they can't go back. Mm-hmm. Like they literally cannot go back and they have to scrap the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And so, in that world, all you ever want to do is exactly what is needed. No more and no less,
yeah.
right? And I bring that sort of like to her performance mm-hmm. where we keep talking about the fact that she gives no more and no less. And that is, we're talking like some of the most incredible visual paintings ever made. Mm-hmm. The artist came in at it from like, there's a point that this artist needs to stop.
Yeah, you need right? to know when you're done.
Exactly, you need to know when you're done, which means that you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, mm-hmm. which, you know, at the MoMA could be like a straight fucking line or it could be the Mona Lisa, you yeah. know what I mean? And in this case, it was a straight fucking line, but there's conviction behind it and there was a point at which the artist needed to know to stop.
Yeah, and the movie needed a straight line.
That's what I'm saying, son.
Yeah.
It is such an incredible movie and there's so much going on and that's
a wild ride of a film.
And a lot of the times it's like you want to feel bad for Matthew Broderick's character, but you fucking don't.
You very quickly decide that he's a piece of shit.
You very quickly decide that he's a piece yeah. of shit. And the sheer fact that he feels threatened by a girl, mm-hmm. by a child, honestly, a child.
Yeah.
It says so much about him and so little about her.
Yeah.
The fact that he lets someone with so little power over him have that much power over him.
Yeah, absolutely. And whose joy brought him so much anger.
Exactly. And it's like, that says more about his character yeah. than it does about her.
Oh, yeah.
And like, in the end, when she's like in the limo with that guy, that politician mm-hmm. guy, and he's like, he fucking throws a soda can. It's like, of course you're throwing like a $2 soda can. This bitch is like popping Dom in that limo with this rich politician.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, choose your battles and decide who you're mad at and like let the woman do what she does best. Yep. This movie is a great example of like, just stay out of someone's way. Mm-hmm. If someone has conviction and ambition and is not like fucking you, like in the sense of like, you know, ruining your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Let them be. Let them fucking be. Don't meddle.
Yeah. A lot of people tend to associate other people's success with themselves,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, obviously sometimes the two are related, but like, yeah, it's just unnecessary in this case. And I think it's a really good example of that kind of like toxic mindset surrounding success.
Yeah. It's like, it's not all about you. Like let people yeah. live.
Just let them do what they want to do and you can do what you do. And the two are not related.
They're very much unrelated. And yeah. also don't pit people against each other to get what you want.
Especially children.
Don't bring in Paul.
You're not going to get anything that you want.
Don't bring in Paul to take down Tracy.
Don't ruin Chris Klein.
What's
like
wrong
that?
With you?
Pure little Chris Klein.
Oh God, he's so good.
He's so fucking funny in this movie.
And ugh. He's just so pure and like just represents like, I just want to have a good time in high school, man. And like,
yeah, why can't we all just get along?
Why can't we all just get along?
You guys can see him in the American Pie franchise.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Which honestly, they're pretty good.
Pretty good.
Quality American entertainment.
Oh yeah. Well, Monica, what is our second film?
You know what? This is the perfect film to talk about after we just talked about
this
film.
It really is.
Because you know what? This character has a lot of new ones.
Oh, yes.
And this movie is called, everyone say with me, Legally Blonde. It came out in the ripe, beautiful year of our Lord 2005.
Yeah, baby.
Directed by Robert Luketic.
Question mark?
Luketic? Screenplay by Karen McCullough Lutz and Kirsten Smith, or is it Kirsten?
There are a lot of question mark names in this.
I don't know. Based on the novel Legally Blonde by Amanda Brown.
That one's easy.
Very easy. Elle Woods, played by Reese Witherspoon, has it all. She's the president of her sorority, a Hawaiian tropic girl, Miss June in her campus calendar, and above all, a natural blonde, baby. She dates the cutest fraternity boy on campus and wants nothing more than to be Mrs. Warner Huntington III. Mm. But there's just one thing stopping Warner, played by Matthew Davis brilliantly, from popping the question. Elle is too blonde. Growing up across the street from Aaron Spelling might mean something in Los Angeles, California, but it means nothing to Warner's East Coast blue blood family, y'all. So when Warner packs up for Harvard Law and reunites with an old sweetheart from prep school, Elle rallies all her resources and gets into Harvard, determined to win him back. But law school is a far cry from the comforts of her poolside and the mall. Elle must wage the battle of her life for her guy, for herself, and for all the blondes who suffer endless indignities every day.
That was an insane plot summary.
Shout out to the to whoever the woman was who wrote this plot summary on IMDb. I love you.
The detail.
The detail. Oh my God. Where to begin?
Okay, first, literally the beginning. The title sequence of this film is fucking iconic.
It's truly iconic.
With her getting ready and her brushing her hair.
And yeah, and like the, like, the, it, it, like the intercut song. With like, oh, the song.
The sun's up. A little after 12.
Keep going.
Know the rest of the words.
Oh, it's okay. But like, it's like intercut with like her sorority gals, yeah, like getting her car together, and like I, okay, full disclosure, I have never seen the inside of a sorority house.
Oh, I have.
I don't think I even knew anyone. Like I wasn't friends with anyone who was in a sorority, really.
I was.
And I have a very specific stance on sororities.
Shout out Hannah of Gamma Phi Beta.
And I will not share it. I am in mixed company. So, but it was so magical to see sort of like the set dressing and like, yeah, everything looking like, honestly, like California, like Malibu Barbie, yes, like flowers everywhere. And like we're talking like 50 Shades of Pink.
They're all working out together in, yeah, one room and, yeah, then like getting ready together in a steamy bathroom. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. It's just very like bubblegum pop, yeah, version of, I'm sure sorority houses look like regular houses with like posters on the wall.
I would say the lobby, like the entryway looks exactly like what a sorority house, yeah, entryway like looks
the,
like.
The individual, but the rest, yeah, yeah. No. It's like, no, like you have like dorm beds and it, yeah, still sucks. Like it's still not great. But I love that, like, we're being introduced into her world. Like,
yes,
this is what I love about this movie is, like, this is her world. We're all just living in it.
Yeah.
Like, fully just taking residence, paying rent. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, it was really important for us to be introduced to the world first because the world is so much of, like, who Elle Woods is, yeah, as a person. Like, she functions, it's almost like it's its own mini society. Like, there are special,
like, a kingdom.
There are, like, rules and, mm-hmm, expectations, and everyone thinks that like if you've been with the same person throughout college, like you're gonna get engaged when you're 21, mm-hmm, like that's what's gonna happen. And so she's expecting this proposal and everyone is so excited for her, and then he fucking breaks up with her because she's too much of a Marilyn instead of a Jackie. Yeah. Which is bullshit.
Which is so stupid. But like, it's true.
It,
right,
is true. Yeah.
It's like that's the problem is, yeah, that it's true. Is that a lot of women, specifically women, hold these really high expectations for what their life looks like. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's because the media, you know, impose it upon them. Whether or not that's because they actually believe it. Whether or not it's because other people believe it and then they, mm-hmm, adopted it. But eventually, like, you start to sort of wonder, like, okay, well, what does my life look like beyond, yeah, my studies? What does my life look like outside of my, like, inner world? Mm-hmm. And these are the big questions that you're being asked, you know, around Elle Woods' time, which is, what does your life look like after college?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that so many people can relate to. And what I love about this movie is it narrows in on what the woman can relate to. Like,
yeah,
what can the woman do after college? And a lot of these women in this movie are really iconic and like very driven. And like they all in their own special way have dreams and goals and desires. And it's like, it's whether or not you want to get married right after college or, you know, own a boutique or, mm-hmm, do X, Y, and Z. Like, it doesn't matter. because you are like the master of your universe in this movie, which I just love.
Yeah, I love this movie for a lot of reasons, but I especially love it because of exactly what you said. Like, it takes this idea of the bimbo and mm-hmm. like flips it on its head and tells you that not only can you be ultra feminine, but you can also be like smart and strong, and your femininity can be one of your points of strength. But also, like, it encourages you to do big things, but also says, like, okay, fine, if you just want to go get your MRS degree and, you know, get married right after college, like, that's fine too.
Like, that's perfectly fine. Like, what this movie shows different versions of a life after mm-hmm. college. Like, one of her friends is like getting her wedding dress fitted, and like, we miss you, girl. Like, good job. Like, we know you're working hard. Like, and no one is faulting the other for choosing that life.
No.
And like, it gets me a little bit emotional because it's like, that was the thing that I wanted. I wanted people to say, like, you do you and I'll just support you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the vice versa. But there was so much growing up and like even currently in our world now where it's like people are still shitting on you for like doing quote unquote the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter kind of what it is. And so for this movie, and we'll get into Reese in just a little bit, for like for this movie to sort of be the frame around Reese's delicate portrait.
Yes.
Is just brilliant. And like, it opens the door for her to give an absolutely stellar and nuanced and beautiful performance.
Exactly. And I love that it is packaged as like a chick flick.
Oh, yeah.
Because it challenges people to say, like, unless you're open to this fucking idea of super like stereotypically feminine women embracing that part of themselves and kind of pursuing more, like unless you're open to that, you're not going to get this movie and you're going to think it's dumb.
Right.
So it challenges people in that way, because if they don't get it, like, fine, it's not for you. If you think it's just like a silly chick flick about, you know, Barbie becoming a lawyer, mm-hmm. then
it's like, and there's that, there is the, how intentional that move is, right?
Yeah.
To make Malibu Barbie become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, it shows you, I can't tell you how many people I know that went to law school because they saw this movie
yes.
and saw themselves in Elle Woods and went, wait, I can be a lawyer? Me with my Elle nail polish? Like, yes. What the fuck? Like, okay. Like, I can count on my two hands how many people I know who went to law school because of this movie.
Yeah.
And I can also count on my two hands how many people were inspired by this movie to do just whatever the fuck they wanted.
Exactly.
To say, like, if I want to get married, I'm going to get married. If I want to start a business, I want to start a business. Mm-hmm. If I want to like settle down and have kids, I'm going to settle down and have kids. Like, it had a really far reach, not just for the working woman, but for any woman who like had any kind of ambition to have any kind of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. It's such an inspiring movie, and it helps that it's also like hilarious.
Oh my god, it's so
the script is fucking brilliant. It has so like good. An incredible supporting cast. Like, I know everyone wants to be Elle Woods, but I personally just want to be Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh my god. I'm taking the dog. Asshole.
Maybe now that I'm single, I should try the bend and snap.
You should. Oh my goodness.
The bend and snap works every time.
It's just, it takes the viewer for a fucking ride.
It's so good. It's so good.
And I love the distinction between like California, like Cali culture and like the fucking East Coast, like New England bullshit.
Yes. Like I think the dynamic between Reese and Selma Blair, who plays Vivian.
Yeah.
The
who you
girlfriend.
Think is an antagonist, but she's not.
I love their dynamic so much because they're like, they're like two total opposites, like mm-hmm. completely different sides
literally.
Of the coin, but their dynamic ends up being like what this movie is all about. Everything that we just
exactly.
went through.
It's like there's so much mutual respect between these two characters in the end, because it's like they finally get each other when they don't have the boy in the way. The stupid, stupid boy in the way.
Stupid boy.
Because you can respect a person's ambition and talent and not necessarily tie it to the way that they carry themselves or the way that they look.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, of course they're going to be BFF in the end.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, it's also turning, I think, like a mirror in the audience's face and going, not only is it bad that you associate like unintelligence with pretty people, but it's also pretty bad that you associate like ugliness with intelligence.
Yeah.
Which is also shitty, like, because Selma Blair is a beautiful girl. Yeah,
she Vivian just is popping.
She's a brunette and she wears a lot of argyle.
Yeah, and apparently she needs to get her eyebrows plucked.
Yeah, supposedly. Which
she shouldn't, because her eyebrows are popping.
But you're supposed to think that she's like not pretty, and but because she's not pretty, she gets to be smart.
Mm-hmm. And she gets the guy, the exactly. specific guy,
yeah,
who wants a specific kind of girl,
uh-huh.
who you know will just like fuck on the side.
Yeah, precisely.
With girls who look like Elwoods because he doesn't value them.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh,
it's really fucked up. This whole movie really points out a lot of fucked up shit.
It points out a lot of fucked up shit and like sort of like, again, puts a mirror on you and goes, well, like, what do you value mm-hmm. in a woman?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it's like, is it only looks? Is it, are you really going to be that person that like only thinks women who have like only allows women to have a brain if they're ugly or if they're pretty or like, or come from a good family or et cetera, et cetera. Like, are you really just going to chalk them up to their traits? Like, are you not going to ask them like what their desires are, what their ambitions are, who they are, what they like, what they love, like what they don't like, what they hate? Like, no,
it's exactly.
So Reese Witherspoon is the perfect fucking vessel mm-hmm. to hold all of this. Like, we're not talking girl boss energy. No, no, no. It's too early for that. This is 2005. We're talking like badass bubblegum pop, like lawyer bitch energy.
This is like when Barbie blend. Got to be a doctor.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, she's the perfect vessel because again, back to her role in Election, mm-hmm. she is this like fire. She has so much conviction while at the same time maintaining a pleasant and pleasurable exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only get to that like ambitious core when you peel away those layers.
Yes.
Ugh, she's just so fucking good in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it works so well because Reese as a person is kind of like a walking contradiction in a lot of ways. I mean, a contradiction in terms of like what society would expect.
Exactly.
Because you look at her, like I said, in Election, and you would think that she's going to be one thing and she's going to be sweet and, you know, agreeable and just beautiful and vain, which Elle Woods at the beginning is in certain ways. I mean, she is ambitious in other ways, just not ways that a lot of people would recognize as ambitious.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, she planned the whole clam bake.
Yeah.
That was all her, baby. That was all her.
She was the judge of the wet t-shirt contest.
And she did it well. She was fair and impartial and unbiased.
Precisely. She got them to keep Charmin toilet paper in the sorority house.
She went for it, girl.
We love an advocate.
Yes, girl. She's smart. She got a 4.0.
Yes.
What was her degree? Fashion merchandising?
Yeah, which that's not an easy thing.
That's a hard degree. Come on, guys.
Come on. But yeah, and then she does have all of this fire. She's like a firecracker of a person. And I just really love that about her. And every single time she's faced with something in this movie that you think is going to like knock her down, it doesn't do that. It builds her back up.
Yeah, because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And I think that the truest nature of a woman is someone who takes a lot of shit and like turns it into fucking gold.
Yeah.
And with specifically Reese, the way that she handles heartbreak in this movie mm-hmm. is... She takes a very comedic approach with Warner when he's like dumping her.
Yes.
But her other heartbreak comes from her realizing that she might not be good enough to reach her dreams.
Yeah.
And that's the real heartbreak, is the like you breaking up with yourself a little bit mm-hmm. and being like, who the fuck am I? Do I belong here? Is yeah. this good for me? Am I doing the right thing for myself? And sort of like evaluating that part of yourself, that relationship with yourself. And like that heartbreak is slow and squishy and soft and simple. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like Reese does an incredible job of like taking all that nuance and like shoving it into her tissue box and like bringing it back out and wiping her tears with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of my favorite things about her performance is that she is not afraid to show us like, I'm not confident 100% of the time. Like, I experience my ups and downs, but the thing that keeps bringing her back is that she's not totally sure if like her best is always good enough, but she knows she's always doing her best.
Mm-hmm.
And all she wants at the end of the day is for people to believe in her,
mm-hmm.
but she's also not sure if she can always believe in herself. And I appreciate the transparency in her acting of like, we don't know if she really thinks that she can do it, you know?
Yeah, it's you know, people always associate fake it till you make it mm-hmm. with negatively. Like, they always have a negative connotation with that phrase, and like, I don't think it's negative. I think that a lot of the times you do have to fake it until you make it, until you believe it. Fake it until you believe it. And I think a big part of like Elle Woods' journey and the way that Reese Witherspoon sort of like built up this character was fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. Smile until you're actually smiling. Like, believe in yourself until you act, like pretend to believe yourself until you actually believe in yourself.
Yes.
Like, buy that orange disgusting MacBook and take notes that way instead of your cute little notebook. Like, yep. Adapt and fake it until you make it. And I think a lot of the times people, again, associate it to be negative, but like in this case, mm-hmm. I think it's really positive, and a lot of women do it. A lot of women are like, okay, like because imposter syndrome is such a big fucking thing,
yes.
A huge thing, especially like within women.
Yeah.
And so for Reese to sort of like take that and be like, okay, like how am I going to do this? Am I just going to be chipper all the time? Or am I going to like sort of like, you know, waver a little bit, falter a little bit, and then like sort of perk myself back up? Because she does this thing in this movie with her physicality where she'll like lean over a little bit, but then like perk herself back up.
Yes, yes.
Like there's like imaginary strings like pulling her up all the time.
Or like where she does like a little hair toss to like get mm-hmm. herself ready.
To do it. She does it. Like, she does what professional athletes do.
To
like
be
she,
brave.
Yeah, she pumps herself up.
Yeah.
She's LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James. Oh.
LeBron Woods.
LeBron? L. Woods. James. Draper.
Draper. Oh, bottom line, Elle Woods is a fucking badass.
Yeah.
And Reese, I think, was incredibly brave taking on a role like this because it was a cultural phenomenon, you know?
Well, it could have... Mm-hmm. This is where we sort of like get into the mud of it, right? It could have pigeonholed her.
Yeah.
Like it could have, honestly, like let's be serious. It could have fucking typecast her. It could have pigeonholed her. It could have been really terrible for her career, but it wasn't because she believed in herself.
Well, but also, I mean, like that's not to say that when people look at Reese Witherspoon, they don't think of Legally Blonde. They immediately think of Legally Blonde, but because it's such a positive film and men and women alike love it and think it's incredible, there's no negativity when you look at her and you go, oh, Legally Blonde.
Yeah, you go, ah, she did Legally Blonde.
Yeah, you're like, that's a great fucking movie. Yeah, let's see what you can do next.
Good job. Yeah, I mean, she obviously had that like weird, she had this like unexplainable weird dip in her career after this movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sweet Home Alabama is movie.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, you're insane. First of all, you're insane. You are insane.
Oh, that's a great movie. Don't talk
Second to me. Of all, yes, there was like a brief period of time where she wasn't fucking, I mean, she was doing stuff, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, no, correct. Like that movie she did with Owen Wilson.
Yeah. How Will You Know?
Yeah, we've talked about that movie a lot lately for some reason. It keeps coming up.
Also, and then she did like Water for Elephants, and like she was good in that, but like it was not like well.
No, it wasn't that good of a movie.
And like, but then she did
Mud.
And then This Means War, and then I sort of like picked her back up again in the commercial success.
Well,
realm.
Then she did Walk the Line. Obviously.
Yeah, and then Walk the Line.
Walk the fucking line.
Oh,
we're not talking about Walk the Line today, guys. But please know that we have left room and are aware that we could talk about it.
Yeah, future. Reese is an expansive career, y'all. Yeah. I mean, The Man in the Moon.
The Man in the Moon
is a really fucking good movie.
Yeah, we talked about doing that. We talked about doing Mud. We talked about Walk the Line. There's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously she did sort of like the least amount of acting for a little stint of time, and then like went into full like I'm going to be producer mode.
Yes.
And succeeded.
Yes.
Because a lot of people do that, and I feel like a lot of people don't realize that is many actors and actresses, mm-hmm. actors general, go into producing and don't make it.
Yeah, and they fucking bomb.
And they bomb, and they bomb, and that's bad. But she didn't.
She didn't, and now everything she's doing is like turning to gold.
Dude, everything she's like fucking Midas. Reese Midas with a Witherspoon.
She's a smart lady.
She's a good businesswoman.
Yes.
From the South.
From Louisiana. I wonder if she knows Bernie Tita.
She probably doesn't. But all this to say her life is a great metaphor for her role as Elle Woods, because she sort of like falters, but then she picks herself right the fuck back Correct. Up again and moves on and yeah. does better.
She's a strong, brave woman.
She's a strong lady. We love her.
I love her.
She has 39 upcoming producing credits.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
She has 39 upcoming producing credits. Of course she does. That's fucking insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has a whole ass production company, to be fair. So I'm sure her name is just attached to them. And I'm sure she has a personal touch on all of it.
But I'm sure she does. Bernie Tita. All this to say, this is an iconic role. And the only person in the entire universe that could have played this role was Reese.
The only thing I don't appreciate is how they photoshopped a different body under her on the DVD cover.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It's comically bad.
It's really terrible.
It's her face and then a horrifying body.
I mean, not horrifying, but like, it's like the way that it was photoshopped.
Like, it looks like, you know, an AI.
Yeah.
You know, the aliens at the end.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
That's disgusting.
In a pink dress with Bruiser on her arm.
It's just not my favorite thing.
We didn't even talk about Bruiser.
Honestly, Bruiser is his own character. He deserves his own episode.
We'll talk about the second Legally Blonde film and all of the great animal acting that happens in that one.
By the way, I'm so excited for the new Legally Blonde movie.
Me too.
I hope it happens.
Me too.
They keep saying it's going to happen.
Everything that has been a spinoff of Legally Blonde, except for the Legally Blondes
plural with the twins or two blondes, that was bad.
But like the musical, an incredible musical.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys.
It's been a great success.
Big success.
Big success movie film.
So now we move to something more depressing.
A little bit more not Legally Blonde.
Not Legally Blonde at all, but exciting. I'm excited to discuss this. Monica and I watched this movie together the other night. Aaron was there too.
Yeah, he was also there. We had pizza night and then watched the movie.
Yeah.
Pizza night. Making Zaws with your pals. Pizza night.
So this film is wild.
No, like it's called Wild.
Yes, it is called Wild and it is wild.
Yeah.
Came out in 2014, directed by our favorite Jean-Marc Vallée.
Jean-Marc Vallée. We don't know how to pronounce his name.
He's only, that is how you pronounce it, is Jean-Marc Vallée.
Jean-Marc
Vallée.
Jean-Marc Vallée. I'm just
kidding. Screenplay by Nick Hornby, based on the 2012 memoir Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail by Cheryl Strayed.
Which, by the way, her name is not Cheryl Strayed.
No.
It's something else.
It's something else. We looked it up.
She changed it
after her divorce.
To not her old last name, but not a new last name.
Not her maiden name, but to an entirely made up one because she said something about a stray dog.
Or something.
Yeah.
It was like she felt, it felt right.
I have conflicting feelings about Cheryl Strayed as a human being, but let's get into what this film is about.
Okay.
Driven to the edge by the loss of her beloved mother, played by Laura Dern. The dissolution of her marriage and a headlong dive into self-destructive behavior, Cheryl Strayed, played by Reese Witherspoon, makes a decision to halt her downward spiral and put her life back together again. With no outdoors experience, a heavy backpack, and little else to go on but her own will, Cheryl sets out alone to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, one of the country's longest and toughest through trails.
Yeah, like,
what is the through trail?
It doesn't end.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about hiking. I completely made that up. I've never been outside.
I don't know. But what I will say.
I'm going to keep some of that in. I don't know.
And we're back.
Yeah, which, by the way, that guttural sound that we made at Laura Dern was not a negative one. It was a good one.
She's so good. The character of the mom in this just, I mean, that is a huge part of the plot, but it just really fucking broke me.
It really shits all over me, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie is insanity.
Interesting.
The opening of this film makes you scream immediately.
Yeah.
Because Cheryl is just sitting on some rocks and fucking chucks her hiking boots over a cliff and then rips off a toenail in minute one.
Yeah. And she goes fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, and Monica, Aaron, and I together screamed.
Because when she takes off her toenail, it sucks. Like,
yeah, it's and you watch the whole thing happen.
It's not a good visual. I mean, like, obviously, it's obviously an effective visual.
Yes, of course.
But it's not a good one.
No, not at all. But the thing that I noticed, obviously, about this movie is that right away, it is a Reese Witherspoon. It's Reese Witherspoon like you've never seen her before.
Yeah, she looks terrible.
She looks fucking awful. I have never seen her so defeated. I mean, I would argue I've never seen Mud, but I believe that there is some of that energy
in her. There's the grit, yeah.
Yeah, and there's also some defeatedness in her character in Walk the Line, but like, this is very specific.
Yeah, this is like woman who has reached the end. Like, yeah. We're talking like any more steps and she's gone.
She's dead.
Yeah. So to see Reese sort of like reach into these insane places that I've never seen her reach before, mm-hmm. is kind of mind-boggling, and it's really difficult for me to wrap my head around like shots of Reese Witherspoon doing crack.
There's a lot like, of surprise.
No, it wasn't crack. Heroin.
I think it was both.
Crack and heroin.
I'm not really well versed on what the drugs
Yeah, I don't know what
like.
Drugs look like, so it's hard for me to like.
Something is injected into her leg and then she smokes something else. Can you smoke heroin? Is that a baby question to ask?
I think.
Does that make me seem like a dumb baby?
Well, my whole thing is I thought that she smoked the crack, but I don't know that it was crack.
Can someone tell us?
Someone let us know if it's usual to smoke heroin.
Can you smoke heroin?
Is it possible? I mean, what
I
do you do?
So
wait,
stupid.
Actually, what does heroin look like? Is it like a powder? Is it a rock?
Okay, my only visual
I think
of heroin
it's a liquid.
Is from when I watch. No, it can be a powder. I believe.
No. It's like a liquid.
No, it's a powder. And
it's
then
a solid.
And then you do the thing.
Oh, it is a powder. You're right. It's a powder.
Yeah, it's a powder. I was going to say my only visual reference is I watched Lost, and the character of Charlie in Lost is a heroin addict. And remember, he kept like dipping into that little bag and like rubbing it on his gums.
What the fuck? Wait, first of all, I've never understood why you rub it on your gums. Wait, but seriously, yeah. Like how do you, what happens when you do that?
I don't know. Does someone well-versed in this want to tell us the ins and outs? Because I feel like Google's going to confuse me.
I don't want to Google it and then have like the government knocking
the FBI
on my door.
Outside.
I'm like, I'm not trying to Google how to make heroin. I'm just trying to figure out why, like whether or not Reese
why
is,
do people rub heroin on their gums?
But like the honest truth is it like physiological? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Is it because like why do people chew tobacco? Is it and well, like why
I,
do they
I have to Google it? Really
like
fast.
Why do they put it in between their lip and their teeth? Like what happens?
I don't know.
Why is that a spot? Why is that a place for it?
It doesn't say why. It just says you can.
Okay, but like why?
I don't know.
Whatever. The point is,
it doesn't fucking matter. There's a lot of surprise drug action coming from Reese Witherspoon, which you really do not expect.
You just don't expect. And no. The fact that she's like, she just like really leans into it.
You see her boobs a lot, which I don't think Reese has ever done nudity before.
I don't think so.
Yeah, which it's not like a bad thing, but she's having like pretty rough, upsetting sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, and you can tell. And what I love is she's like dissociating. And mm-hmm. I mean, I don't love this, but like.
You love that she is acting it so well?
In her performance, she's sort of like dissociating from herself and she's acting it so well that it's hard for you to, it's really hard for you to like say that that's what's happening to her is like okay or good because she's just doing such an incredible job of like really honing in on that experience and like feeling like she's not really there.
Yeah, it's a tough, I would say that there are parts of this that are really hard to watch. I think it would be hard to watch anybody, but especially given like the reputation that Reese Witherspoon has, which is why I think it's great that she did this movie.
Totally.
Because it was a huge fucking challenge, not only to herself, but also to the audience to be like, hey guys, view Reese Witherspoon in this insane way where you kind of hate her.
And she was rewarded for it. She got nominated for an Academy fucking award.
Yeah.
For doing this insane role.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, she is kind of terrifying because like you see all of this defeat, you see all of this just like pure anguish,
pain,
and like
grief,
pain
sorrow,
and grief that you can't even
rage,
imagine
a lot of rage feeling.
And yet she's somehow like mellow.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's like a calm, quiet,
horrifying
storm. She is a quiet storm with a really shitty tattoo.
That tattoo
really fucked
Cheryl
me
Cheryl Strait, I hope you got that removed.
It's the placement for me. It's the placement for me.
Also, it's the reason for me. We're getting a divorce, so we're both going to get a tattoo.
I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm not here to argue the ethics over whether or not you should get a tattoo when you get divorced.
That tattoo artist certainly was. He was like, well,
sure.
He was like, wouldn't it just be easier to stay married?
Yeah, and they were like, no, we need to get divorced. It is bizarre because you sort of like hop time periods in this movie, yeah. And we know what Reese Witherspoon looked like when she was 20.
Yeah.
And that is not what, obviously, what she looked like when she was 20.
Yeah, and Laura Dern is playing her mom, and like Laura Dern is older than her, but not that much older than her.
They're like very close in age.
I think like max 10 years, if
max,
that.
Max.
Yeah.
Max. Yes, not old enough to be her mom, basically.
No.
Just not old enough to be her mom.
Not old enough at all to be her mom.
Yeah. And they age her down using a very clever trick that all filmmakers use to age down anyone, which is give them blunt bangs.
Just give them bangs.
Make them look like an anime character. Make their eyes really big.
Yep.
Like they really go ham on the mascara.
Truly.
But like the clear mascara, yeah. So that they don't look too old.
Nope.
And then they like give her blunt bangs and like a blunt haircut to like round out her features.
Exactly. I will, like, this is not a perfect film. I like, the biggest point of praise is for Laura Dern and for Reese Witherspoon, but yeah. There's a lot of iffy shit that happens with like the timeline that doesn't really make sense, and like the way that they do the flashbacks. But I will say, I think they use them very effectively.
Yeah. And honestly, like, Jean-Marc Vallée has had a really successful career mm-hmm. with this kind of shit. Like, yeah. he has,
you know, the one,
you know, Big Little Lies.
I know. And Laura and Reese were both in it.
And they were both in it, and they both kicked major ass.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, this tool of like sort of like cutting away and mm-hmm. like silent flashbacks and like really quick cuts that sort of like disorient you.
Yeah.
That was really good in Big Little Lies. And it works very well in Wild. It's just sometimes I get a little confused.
I think he's really good at doing books to film.
Yeah.
Because those silent flashbacks tell you a lot of shit that you need from the book, especially a book like Wild that takes place over such a long period of time.
Truly. Honestly. Like, we're talking 3 months.
3 months. I mean, I guess there are books that go across years, but like to stay with the same person and the same inner monologue for 3 months is a long fucking time.
It's pretty crazy. I will say, this movie did not make me want to go hike the Pacific Crest Trail.
No, one of my notes is literally just, I hate hiking. And then the next one is, I love the licorice man. Yo. Referring to the man in the truck with the licorice.
Oh my God, dude. This guy who's like interviewing hobos. Oh, no. No, he was the licorice guy. But yeah, I'm saying this other guy who...
The hobo guy.
He was the hobo guy. He was like interviewing hobos and he thought that Cheryl Strayed was a hobo, mm-hmm. but she wasn't. And he was like, here you go. He's a hobo care package. And she was like, I'm not a hobo, sir. And he gives it to her and it's literally just a bag of popcorn and a Coors Light. And it is offensive.
What else could you want, Monica? Obviously.
So much more. I want so much more than this provincial life.
No, what he needs to give her is what Licorice Man gave her, mm-hmm. which is kindness.
And ribs.
And a hot shower.
Kindness, ribs, and a hot shower.
And misogyny.
That's true.
Because he's like, you're awfully brave for hiking that trail by yourself. I don't give my wife any ideas.
And his wife's like, you know I'll stay here. You know I ain't going to be going nowhere. Yeah. It's just, I have so many thoughts about the movie in general because it's not my favorite film I've ever seen.
No.
But I can't describe the feeling, like the guttural feeling I get when I watch Reese Witherspoon like cry her fucking eyes out and like yeah. claw at herself. And like, she's like a deranged animal.
Yes.
Which I've never seen before. She's like a wounded, a truly like wounded, bitten off animal that's like been left to die.
Yes. It's crazy how she goes from that 1 second and then literally the next second is just like nothing, blank. It made me think a lot about the scene at the end of Seven.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his whole like...
What's in the box?
Yes. All of his emotional shit. And then all of a sudden when he shoots Kevin Spacey...
Empty.
It's just emptiness. And I feel like Reese had a lot of those kinds of emotional transitions in this. And it's especially impressive because of how long you're with her for the... You're with her walking for a whole fucking film.
Yeah, and this bitch does not say shit.
No.
She says like quotes. She's like something, 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 Robert Frost. And then like says nothing. And then she's like, ah, oh, this fucking trail. And then says nothing. And yeah. So a lot of her acting is like very physical and like mm-hmm. very in the face. And so you sort of, and the the sheer fact that she kept my attention for that long without saying anything just goes to show you how much talent and power Reese Witherspoon has.
Yeah, not only did she keep your attention, but you also knew what she was thinking, which is weird. Yeah,
which is so weird.
Because most of what you were getting was flashbacks. And yet you're like, but I know how you're feeling in this present moment. And I know that, like, I know where your anger is coming from.
It's weird.
It's really weird. I mean, obviously effective filmmaking and storytelling, but also effective acting for you to like be on the same page with her.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Honestly, like I think that this film Loki has witchcraft in it, but I mean, we don't have to get into that. I just think that I've somehow been hexed in some
there
way.
There are witches on the trail.
There are witches on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Listen to the trees.
Be careful. I don't know. There's so much to say about this movie, and yet there's nothing at all to say. Because it's so... It is not every... Okay, let's start by saying, like, not everyone loved this movie.
No.
This movie had some pretty mixed company.
Yeah, I think really mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews. Obviously, there's... Whenever you write, or whenever you make a movie that is based on a book, mm-hmm. it's all you've already lost.
Like, yeah.
There are already going to be people who are going to relentlessly compare it to the book, period.
Yeah.
Now, I have only ever read Wild one time. I read it one time, and it was like 7 years ago.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay.
So.
Well, we also discussed not really loving Cheryl Strayed, so.
Yeah, I will say Tiny Beautiful Things is actually a very, very good series of essays.
I'm sure she writes some good
quite
things.
Sometimes.
My introduction to Cheryl Strayed was this film. I mean, like, I knew who she was. I just hadn't read her work.
Yeah.
And the way she comes across in this movie is not like someone I would ever want to listen to.
Yeah, she seems so lost. And I think the reason why I have such an aversion to her as a character is because she's everything that I don't want to be. She's lost and like unfocused and in grief and in mm-hmm. a tremendous amount of pain. And no one wants to be that way.
Yeah, but I guess that is also kind of what I respect about the movie and about the story is that she's very like unapologetically showing up and being like, this is me. I don't really expect you to like me, but I think you can find value in the story. Even if at the end, when I have been redeemed, you still don't like me, which is how I feel. I still don't like her at the end.
Yeah. At the end, she's still lost. She still has no job. She still doesn't have her relationships are still mm-hmm. not fixed.
Yeah.
She is still not really a whole person. Mm-mm. But I think the whole point at the end is she is now beginning to become the person she wants to be.
Yeah. And
which
that
is important.
She is gone to the depths of her mind that she really refused to go to before.
Yeah. And I think the whole, like, my whole thing was I hated the CGI fox because they could have just used a real fox. But, you know, what do I know? I'm not Jean-Marie. I'm not millionaire director Jean-Marie. You know, I'm a big fan of animal actors. Give them work.
They need it.
They need the money. But, you know, the fox needing or sort of representing like the spirit of her mother.
Yeah.
I thought was a really nice touch. I mean, it's in the book, but it's like watching Reese sort of like acknowledge that at the end without saying anything.
Yeah.
Was pretty priceless. Honestly, I thought it was a very valuable and effective ending.
Yeah. There are a lot of really powerful moments in this movie. You know, whether you end up fucking loving her or hating her. And like, I do think that that is the mark of a well-told story, bare mm-hmm. minimum, that you can still like clearly see the value in something, even if you're like, nah, not for me.
Not my cup of tea. But sort of back to Reese, I think watching her in this sort of made me so excited to see what else she does in this kind of world, like in this like dramatic kind of like angsty world, which you get a glimpse of it in Big Little Lies. If you've recently seen that, is you get glimpses of her acting like a wounded animal mm-hmm. because she's in this like she's in this great relationship with this great guy, but like for some reason can't like.
She's a self-sabotager.
Yeah, she's a self-sabotager. Mm-hmm. And you get just a little glimpse of that in Big Little Lies.
Yeah. I want to see more stripped down Reese though. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's nice.
And shocking.
It is very shocking.
And a little upsetting.
Yes. It gives you guttural reaction and then you go throw up.
Truly.
But in good way.
Well, I guess that was Reese, right?
Yeah, that was Laura Jane.
Laura Jane Reese Witherspoon.
So, Jessica, what have you been dabbling in?
Nothing really. Nothing is going on. I'm half vaccinated. That's exciting.
Woo!
Wahoo! I'm trying to watch all the Oscar noms, even though you don't like them. So far, I think I've seen like 3.
Okay, it is not that I don't like them.
No, it's not that you don't like the movie, you don't like the Oscars.
Okay, cool.
That's what I meant.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. I know you would have received a lot of hate mail.
Excuse me.
And would have been very sad.
Excuse me. My opinion is not one of one. It is one of many. Thank you and good night.
But I still have a lot to watch. But so far, the best one I've seen is Minari. And I know it costs $20 to go watch it online. I had a screener, thank God. But if you have the opportunity to watch it, you absolutely should. It's a stunning film.
I have been dabbling in... I recently procured... I've been dabbling in coffee table books.
Ooh.
Because my coffee table will be arriving next month. So
is
obviously...
Is the one downstairs not the one you're keeping?
No.
I didn't know this.
I ordered one from Article like a month ago.
Cute.
And it'll come next month.
And your couch is still TBD, right?
Yeah, everyone just calm the fuck down, okay? I'll get my shit when I get it. But anyway, I prematurely ordered coffee table books. Uh-huh. And I ordered, there's like a Wes Anderson coffee table book that is really delightful.
Yes.
Like it's got a lot of really pretty colors in it. It's just a delightful little book about like a lot of pictures of Owen Wilson in that one.
I love Owen Wilson.
Lots of pictures of Owen Wilson in that one.
Love him.
And then I ordered, A24 has those like scripts that are like hardback.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ordered the one for The Witch.
The Witch. The Vivitch.
The Vivitch.
I love that movie.
Which is... honestly, an incredible movie.
Very scary as an ex-Catholic.
Yeah. I want to do Anya Taylor-Joy soon.
Okay.
The babiest of daddies.
We'll talk about...
Do you not like her?
I do, but what are you going to talk about? The Witch, Emma, and...
Did you not watch Thoroughbreds?
I guess not, but like...
That's our best movie.
Two baby. She needs to do something else.
You're crazy. She's like 35.
No, she's not. No, she's not.
She's like 30.
Based on that, we should be doing fucking Florence Pugh.
No,
she
we can't
has
do
three
Florence
great
Pugh.
Movies.
We can't do Florence Pugh. She doesn't know how to make a cup of tea.
Oh, fuck.
Just kidding. Don't hate me, Florence.
Blasphemy.
Sorry, Florence.
Florence.
It was joke. It was joke from your Instagram.
Do we have a question? Yes. That is not how you spell my name.
Jasic.
My name on this is spelled J-A-E-S-S-I-C. Jasic.
Jasic.
So someone asked, what is the ultimate summer movie?
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
You had that one already. I really got to think about this.
Summer. For whatever reason, I always associate Clueless with summer.
Okay.
I don't know why. Probably because of that opening. It's very summery.
Sure.
And like Beverly Hills and fun.
Yeah. I would say something like Mamma Mia.
Yeah, Mamma Mia.
It's a really good summer movie, especially the second one.
I feel like there are other ones that we could say.
Yeah, there are really good ones.
They're like, not better, but like just different. I don't know. I'm like a fall bitch. So it's like all my movies are fall.
The Sandlot.
Oh, the
Perfect
Sandlot.
Perfect summer movie.
Perfect summer movie. Honestly, Death Becomes Her.
Oh, okay.
Good summer movie.
When I think of summer movies, I think about things that I would go see at like the drive-in or like an outdoor theater.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and both of these have played.
I'm missing one. I feel like there's one.
Ooh, like Never Been Kissed is a really good summer,
movie. As is 50 First Dates.
Ooh, There's Something About Mary.
Ooh, Charlie's Angels. We're just naming things that Drew Barrymore said.
Okay, so basically every Drew Barrymore summer movie.
Rewind. I don't know. I feel like I'm missing like a vital one.
Google it really quick.
No, like I'm like
top summer movies.
It's in here, you know, man. Like it's in
here. It's in here, man. I feel like a good like stoner comedy is a good summer movie, like a Pineapple Express or something.
The Hangover.
Okay.
That's a good summer movie.
Okay. It does take place in Vegas, which feels hot.
Yeah, it's very summery. It's not the one that I was thinking of, though. I was just ripping off of your stoner comedy. It's like, that's like a refined stoner comedy.
Grease also makes me think of summer.
Grease is good. Wow. Yeah. You'll never know what's in my head, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, apparently I have all of the good summer movie recs over here.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't know. I tend to watch a lot of horror movies in the summer. I watch a lot of horror movies in the summer.
I also watch a lot of horror movies in the summer.
So it's like hard for me to, like, for example, like this is the difference, right? Uh-huh. I associate Crimson Peak as being a fall winter movie.
Yes.
And I associate something like It as being a summer movie.
But didn't it come out in the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Get it right. She doesn't get me.
Doesn't well, I'm like, me. Yeah, naturally that makes sense because that's when it came out.
You know what? Guys, I'm looking for a new partner. If anyone wants to apply to be my co-host on this pod,
you can't.
You can email us at johnfavreauisallegedlymydaddy@gmail.com, and if you can deal with anchor support, you can be my pal.
No. I'm invoking squatter's rights, and now I live in this chair.
There's no fucking squatter's rights, bitch. I just moved. Absolutely.
Squatter's
not.
Rights.
Squatter's rights, yeah.
Squatter's rights, the musical.
Squatter's rights, yo.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know, but I'm really excited for In the Heights, the movie, which comes out in
That'll
the summer.
That'll be a summer movie.
Go. Oh, summer movie, Crazy Rich Asians. Great summer movie.
When's the next one going to be made?
I don't know, man.
When
but like, Harry Shum Jr. is supposed to be in it.
Oh, fuck. He's cute.
So you know it's going to be good. Because he's like really good to look at.
He's really nice to look at. He's a great dancer.
Great dancer. He's got fancy feet.
Fancy feet. Harry. All right.
No, you know what? We're just going to end this. We're going to end your misery. It is what it is. It's fine.
All right. Well, as always, everyone,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau.
Goodbye, Monica.
Goodbye, Jessica.